Has anyone ever been to Niagara Falls? Okay, most of you. I had the opportunity to visit Niagara Falls on a business trip. What a tremendous sight. The roar of the water, the mist spraying up from the river, the power of the water rushing down the river and over the falls. It really is a wonder to behold. And I noticed as you look above the falls, there's a cable stretched across the river. And on that cable was a warning that all boats needed to stay on the other side, or the power of the rushing water would send the boat and the occupants over the falls to their death. The story is told about a sailor and a miner who lost control of their rowboat as they were rowing above the falls. The swift water started pulling them to the edge of the falls. Someone from shore flung them a rope to the two of them as they were going by. The sailor grabbed the rope and hung on. But the miner, seeing a log floating by, seized the log and wrapped himself around it and ignored the rope. Well, you know the outcome. One man was saved, the other lost. One man was pulled to safety because he chose the right course. The other man chose poorly. He chose the wrong course. Our gospel today, our text, talks about our safety line of life, Jesus Christ. The one Jesus who throws us the safety line of salvation when we are going down this river we call life. We also hear one man's confession, one man's declaration about the Savior of his life. So where are we in this journey? Jesus is in the middle of his public ministry. He's in northern Galilee and is now heading down to Jerusalem, where he knows that the cross, suffering, and death await him. As he begins this most difficult part of his ministry, time is running short. He must know if he's having an impact. He must know if anyone has figured out yet who he is, why he has come. He doesn't ask the crowds, but asks the men who have been with him day and night for a year and a half. He asks the ones who are supposed to know him best. He begins by asking them what others are saying about him. Well, some say you are Elijah, others a prophet. Jesus presses them a little bit more, and he brings the question home and asks, but who do you say that I am? Well, typical of a Bible study class, not everyone's jumping up to give the answer. But Peter, who is being Peter, boldly says, you are the Christ. You are the Christ. Maybe faith's foremost famous words. Peter understood who Jesus was. Peter knew Jesus was the Messiah. Peter knew Jesus was the Son of God. Peter knew Jesus was the only one who would bring God's good news into the world. This morning, I'd like to take a few moments and just unpack Peter's confession so that you and I today might make our own confession. Jesus, you are the Christ of my life. The first word in Peter's confession is you. Peter is saying you, this Jesus of Nazareth, you are the Christ. The word you is personal. Peter was saying loud and clear that he knew this Savior well. He had a personal, intimate relationship with him. You, someone that I know, someone that knows me. This you is not some vague God, but a personal God. A God who is concerned about me as much as I am about getting to know him better. When I was in high school and later in college, it may surprise you to know that I participated in drama groups. I know that sounds strange for someone who doesn't like being in front of people. But in college, I got to play in a play called You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. I was Schroeder. And I remember one evening we were rehearsing and getting ready for opening night when the rehearsal was interrupted by the arrival of six characters who clamored to the professor about their play. They wanted to be produced. They addressed the professor, "We bring you a drama, sir," said one of the characters. "We are six most interesting characters." "Well, that is most interesting," said the professor. "But what do you want here, all of you?" "Why," came the repeated plea, "we want to live inside of you." And then they continued to act out their play. All six characters right on the stage. The characters fight, they quarrel, they love, they hate. They bring all the emotions of life alive on the stage. As I watched, I was fascinated that those six characters wanted to live their lives in someone else, because that was the only way their story could be told. It was this experience that I started to formulate the idea in my mind: everyone has a story to tell. I think all of us have a character in us who is clamoring to be heard. We all have a character who is trying to tell their life story through us. That chief character in all our lives should be Jesus Christ. That is the meaning of Peter's word, you. Peter brings Jesus into a personal relationship with him by using that word, you. Is Jesus personal for you? Do you have an intimate relationship with him? Is your relationship so intimate with Jesus Christ that he is the character trying to live out his life in you? The second word in Peter's confession is R. I'm looking at my English teacher up here. Let's see if I get this right. R in the English language is a verb, a to-be verb. M is, was, were, are. The to-be verb means something now, something for today, and something for tomorrow and forever. Jesus is for Peter something for today and something for forever. Is Jesus that kind of person for you? Is Jesus going to be in you today as well as in you tomorrow? There is a story about a man who had been very faithful and active in church, but suddenly he stopped attending worship. Then one day he was back in church. The pastor was pleased and asked him how he had come to return to church. The man said, "Every Sunday morning and evening, a certain man would pass by my house on the way to church. The worship services were so important to him that he did not let the snow or rain stop him. We would talk, and he told me he had to walk 8 blocks to church. He often extended me an invitation to join him by saying, "This is a good day to go to church with me." But I never said yes. But he never seemed discouraged when I refused him. While I never accepted his invitation to go with him to church, his passing by twice on Sunday made me feel dissatisfied. I learned of his illness by his failure to go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I thought that someone ought to take his place. I know I can't, but I do want to sit in his pew. That man's steps in the snow made me want to rejoin the church. He had something which I needed, and after many years away from the church, I am now back, ready to join. A relationship with Jesus Christ is something for today and tomorrow. Even when we have turned away from Christ, Jesus is still there working through the events and people in your life. Jesus Christ is in your life, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. Are you willing to acknowledge his presence today and tomorrow? Are you willing to let him be the power and the strength for your life? Can you confess, as Peter did, "You are the Christ"? The third word in Peter's confession is "the." Sometimes we tend to skip over the words like "the" or "a" or "an" and others. They are words that usually carry very little weight. But in faith's four famous words, "the" is very important. For this "the" tells us that Peter was seeing Jesus as the only Christ, the only Lord, the only Savior for his life. Peter did not say, "You are a Christ." A Christ among many, a Savior among many, a Lord among many, a God among many. No, Peter said "the," meaning the only one, the only Lord, the only Savior, the only God of his life. When you and I think about Jesus for our lives, do we tend to put an A before his name or a "the" before his name? Is Jesus one Savior, one God among many, or is Jesus the only God in our lives? Does Jesus take second place to money, to work, to time? Does Jesus take second place to hatred? Does Jesus take second place to an unforgiving spirit? Is Jesus Christ just one of many gods that you worship? Many people place making money ahead of God. Many people place time ahead of God because they say they do not have or want to take the time to worship, to pray. Many people place hatred or an unforgiving spirit before Jesus. It's more important for me to carry grudges from the past or find faults in others before I worship God. I worship the one true God. Where is it for you? Is there an A before the name of Jesus, or a the, meaning that Jesus is the only God for you. Finally, the fourth word in Peter's confession is Christ. Christ, which means Messiah, the anointed one, Son of God, one part of the Holy Trinity, one part of the Godhead. Christ, the Son of God, who came to earth to show, to tell, to bring the love of God to all of us. Elizabeth Browning wrote, "Earth's with heaven, and only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries." Only one of the disciples saw God in Jesus, Peter. For the first time, Peter grasped the momentous fact that Jesus was the Christ. Wasn't a full understanding. Nevertheless, Peter was able to comprehend, if only dimly, God's presence in Christ. He was able to make his own confession of faith. "Yes, Jesus, you are God. Yes, Jesus, you are the anointed one. Yes, Jesus, you are God incarnate." You and I today are called by God to make that same kind of response. Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." "But who do you say that I am?" Today is today the day that you say you are the Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.